Liebe Brüder und Schwestern im Herrn,
dear brothers and sisters in the Lord,
zur heutigen Andacht aus Zürich,
to this service in Zurich, we greet all of you, our precious brothers and sisters, who are scattered all over the earth,
in the precious name
of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful to the Lord for the technic, for the live broadcasts via the internet,
that the last
true message can be heard by all peoples, tongues and nations at the same time. How wonderful that also these adverse conditions in this evil time cannot hinder it, that God's holy word has reached the ends of the earth. The Lord is so faithful. He has carried us through until this very day, and He will continue to do it. The Lord is and remains our refuge and strength. What a privilege that we may live in this serious time, putting all our trust into the Lord, so that we are not ashamed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul reports what trusting in God produces even in the danger of death. It is written there, Second Corinthians chapter 1, I read from verse 8 to 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. That we should learn to put our trust not in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. It became newly great to me that also we must still learn not to put our trust in men and in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. It continues. I would like to read, before we pray, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read from verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So far, this precious and holy word of God. We want to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, with all our hearts I thank you that we are still living in the time of grace, in the last day of salvation, in the preparation. We thank you for the last message, for all divine truths which were put anew upon the lampstand. We thank you for the unfalsified word of truth which delivered us. You are the victor of Calvary. You have even swallowed up death in victory. Thanks be to you that also us you have given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you see all the problems, all the difficulties, all the needs. You see our shortcomings, beloved Lord. You know what each one of us needs, so that by your help might reach the glorious destination. Be especially merciful to us today, and bless your people all over the earth. Beyond asking and understanding, from the riches of your grace, bless and strengthen your faithful servant and touch him also in his body. We thank you that also today you will give divine teaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that your word does not return void, but that it will accomplish for what it was sent today. Thank you for the great grace that a lovely lot has been given to us, an inheritance. To you, the only God, be all the praise and all the glory and all the worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I would like to greet all of you. Brother Baumgartner, of course, read a wonderful word. There are two chapters in the Bible which describe very precisely what will happen at the return of the Lord. The one we just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the second is written in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4.
Und sind diese Bibelstellen ja bekannt.
These scriptures are well known to us, and we rejoice about it, that very soon, they will come to fulfillment. Today, we will have a brief view on that, what is happening right now. We all are sad about that at Easter we cannot have any gatherings, let alone international gatherings. The life of a believer is, of course, therein that the gatherings are the main thing. It's, of course, written, forsake not your assembling together. And the more you see the day approaching. And we are living now in a time in which so many regulations are made, so that it is not even possible to have the gatherings in a biblical way. On the other hand, we are grateful for all the preachings of Brother Branham from the 60s. And we are grateful for the preachings which we have from the 70s and from the 80s. God, of course, has led it in such a way that all the services were recorded. I think especially on the past Wednesday, when we could hear the sermon via the internet all over the earth, which I preached 1984 in Zurich. The main subject was the testimony of God. The testimony which God gave of our Lord, be it at the baptism in the River Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then we of course have seen how the Apostle John lined out this testimony. And whoever believes that, what God has said, he will have eternal life. For God has given us eternal life by His grace. And this life is here on earth in the Son of God. It was manifested. And whoever has the Son of God has eternal life. Just so grateful that by the broadcasts on every Wednesday, on every Saturday and Sunday, we can play the old sermons, and every time we are blessed anew. For the Easter time, we decided the following. God willing, on Good Friday, I will refer to the 2nd of April. The 2nd of April has for me a very special significance. And so, on the coming weekend, on the Saturday evening, and then on Sunday morning, we will have a live broadcast. Now, let us come briefly back to our time. We think here on Romans 8. The whole creation is groaning. We groan and have an inner longing for it, that the Lord comes and that He takes us home. But before that, must our preparation take place. And we are grateful to the Lord that we time and again can point to it. Yes, we must point to it. That at the first coming of Christ, a divine commission was carried out because of the promise that a messenger will prepare the way for the Lord. That's how it is written even today in Malachi chapter 3. And likewise in Isaiah chapter 40. When the time was fulfilled, John the Baptist received the commission according to these promises to prepare the way for the Lord. And we have spoken about this many times. In our time, the second promise came to fulfillment. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Brothers and sisters, you cannot imagine what goes on within me when I think about that the disciples asked our Lord and Savior in Matthew 17, verse 10, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? For the scribes, it was the promise that the prophet Elijah should come. The misunderstanding could never be corrected until this very day. The promise for the first coming of Christ is of course not Malachi 4, but Malachi 3. And at that time, the scribes took the wrong scripture and were waiting for that Elijah should come. And until this very day, the Jews are waiting for Elijah who shall come. Because the scribes were wrong teachers, heretics. They had no divine revelation and they misled the people. When John the Baptist was asked, "Art thou Elijah?" He said, "No, I am not." The answer was clear. And then when he was asked, "Who art thou?" He gave the answer in John 1, verse 23, "I am the voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord." The two prophecies for that point of time were fulfilled 100%. The Lord confirmed himself that he foresent his servant and prophet who has prepared him the way. You can go to Mark 1 from verse 1 to 3. Brothers and sisters, I repeat myself. What it means for me that people, also the scribes, in this time, do not recognize the promise. The main promise they don't recognize, but they have their personal interpretations for the end time. Whatever is determined for the end time, we can read up, especially in Luke 21, that even pestilences will come, as written in verse 11, famines, perplexity, perilous times, everything will become different, climate change, everything will become different, nothing will be anymore as it was. Everything was foretold. Also with Israel, the fig tree should become tender and should receive new life. Everything took place. Since 1948, we have the state Israel. Everything came to fulfillment. And I think here, how many TV preachers have all these subjects in their programs, but who has the main thing in the program which was promised to the church? Today, it's not only about to know what God foretold in general, that it should take place. Today it is about what God promised to the church
in
Acts 3:19. Our Lord remains in heaven until the times of the restitution of all the things which God has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets. And the promise, which we already mentioned, that God would send a prophet at the end of the time of grace to turn the heart of the children of God back to the faith of the apostolic fathers and to prepare a people for the Lord. This is the main promise for our time. And therefore, we are grateful that the Lord God has sent his servant and prophet, our brother Branham. And 1,000 times he confirmed it. One can hear it in the 1,200 sermons. You can hear it how the Lord God used this man, beloved, just as our Lord and Savior could say, not I am the one who does these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. In the same way it happened in our time. Not I, William Branham, do these extraordinary works, but the living God, who through his Spirit dwells in me, he does these works. I on purpose mentioned it in the singular, for the Lord God really could use Brother Branham in the same way with a prophetic ministry. Yes, he made him a blessing. Once again, coming to the time in which you are living now, never before was such a perplexity, aimlessness. Everything is no more as it was. Consulting meetings are going through the nights. And time and again, new things come up about which must be negotiated and consulted. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we recognized it, that in this time, especially the statement of our Lord must be emphasized. When you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. In the same way, we honestly and sincerely can say it, blessed are the eyes of them who see it, and the ears of them who hear it. Let us emphasize it once again. God has given grace that we in this time were not misled, but by grace we were led by the Holy Spirit into the promises which were given to the church, given to the church of Jesus Christ, to the church of the firstborn, which as the bride, which is called the bride church. And therefore, Brother Branham was commissioned already in June 1933 to bring the divine message to the church so that the calling out, the separation, the preparation can take place. And the preparation to the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us come back now, dear brothers and sisters, in this sermon from Zurich, let us come back to the text of the word of introduction from 1 Corinthians 15. We are grateful to the Lord with all our hearts. Here in Zurich, we look back to 50 years in which on every last Sunday of a month, the meetings have taken place. We look back to a time in which God's holy word was preached here in Zurich. And we thank the Lord, especially for our ministering brethren here, be it Brother Baumgartner, be it Brother Keller, be it Brother Scherer, also the brothers who are already with the Lord, Brother Graf, and all the brothers who were here in the course of time. It was, of course, such in such a way that on every first Sunday of a month, I have preached in Krefeld, and on every last Sunday of a month, I preached in Zurich. In between, the first and the last Sunday, I was on the way. And a brother from France, he sent us an email whether we truly can show and prove that Brother Frank has preached in 165 countries. And what have we done? We asked Brother Tati in Brussels to send us a list of countries. And then he sent us a list with all 195 countries. And we could mark all the countries in which I have preached. God has led it in such a way in the past 55 years, since 1965-66, that the message could be carried unto the ends of the earth. And this was necessary so that the contact could be established, so that now all can connect in all countries of the earth. Just so mighty, because in this way, two scriptures are coming to fulfillment. Please forgive me that I said scriptures. The one we all know very precisely, the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached to all nations, not only in the USA or in Europe, but to all nations on the earth will be preached this gospel, and then the end shall come. In the same way, Brother Branham, it was said to Brother Branham that the last message of the Word of God would be preached worldwide. And exactly this took place. Not only a message in general, and to it, I would like to point to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to the first three verses. Here, it's really written in our Bible translations. It's not written gospel, but message of salvation. Very, very important. Not only an announcement, not only a gospel. Today, all have a gospel. All have their own gospel. But it's about more. It's really about it, that the divine message of salvation is preached. I read here the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the message of salvation which I preached unto you. The message of salvation which I preached unto you. May all brothers who translate into other languages please bear with us. We are not exalting ourselves above others, but our Bible translator was a converted, a born-again man who experienced the grace of God personally. And brothers and sisters, we may say it here, 113 times the word message of salvation is mentioned in the Bible. Because it is so important. Today, all are speaking of a message. And what do they say? What do they teach? Nothing but calamity is in all these messages which are preached. And let us say it here very clearly, that all who refer to Brother Branham, they went astray. Only he who can refer to God and God's Word, he cannot go astray. And what happens today? All these heresies about the seven thunders and about all kinds of subjects where they think that the prophet supposed to have said this and that. The prophet. Also this, the next time we will say and repeat. I noted it down already. How many times the prophet said and how many times he repeated Revelation 22, verse 19, that to the written word absolutely nothing may be added. This he said not once, this he said at least 100 times. And brothers and sisters, What is with all the brothers who refer to Brother Branham? And at the beginning of a service, they read three verses from the Bible, and then they close the Bible, and they read from the sermons of Brother Branham, from the quotes which they misunderstood and making their own heresies. This is the time in which all true believers must come back to God, back to His Word. Please, dear brothers and sisters, I have a divine commission. I have a responsibility before God, for the church of the living God. I once for all must say it, and I must repeat it. The true church is a word church. Just as the bridegroom was the revealed holy word, so every word of God which was promised to us by grace, it will become true. And as I said many times, there's no man on earth among all brothers who came on the scene, there's no one who was in so many meetings of Brother Branham in Europe and in the USA. There's not one whom Brother Branham has given a commission to go to Los Angeles. Not one Brother Branham gave a single commission, not one who would have come to him after he personally received a commission to then get the confirmation, as Brother Frank has done it with the experience of the 2nd of April 1962. But here, today, it's about to once again emphasize that a true servant of God connects the people with God, not with himself, but connecting the people with God. Therefore, we are messengers, we are ambassadors in Christ's state. Also, Brother Branham was, of course, not Christ. This would be a blasphemy. He was a messenger of Christ, a prophet of God, a man of God, who brought us in connection with God and God's holy revealed word. Also this, I say with a sincere and honest heart, when I, 1949, for the first time, heard about the ministry of Brother Branham, and this I heard from a man who was in Hollywood. He was an esteemed movie maker who was filming, who was present when the bombing took place of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, who sat in the plane, who made photos, what kind of intensity happened there at the destruction of the bombing. And this man returned, and he came into a meeting of Brother Branham, and he dedicated his life to God. On his inside, he was touched, And on the spot, he was baptized in the Spirit. And he was praying for many. Also in Hamburg, he was praying that many would receive the baptism in the Spirit. But this man, he testified of the ministry which he personally witnessed. Since that time, I'm of course acquainted with what God has done. So, let us summarize. It is a divine message of salvation. And I say it here, before the Lord, a message which does not have the salvation of God as the center is not a divine message. A divine message will have Jesus Christ, the finished work of redemption, as its center. So, dear brothers, don't be angry with us when in our translations it's not written the term gospel, but the message of salvation. Then the point which must be touched here. We, of course, have read in the word of introduction, which Brother Baumgartner has read, we heard especially of the return of Jesus Christ. And here, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, in verse 3 and 4, the testimony of Jesus Christ, namely that Christ, according to the Scriptures, was crucified, and according to the Scriptures, he rose on the third day. Always the emphasis, according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, also now the calling out takes place. According to the Scriptures, must now the complete correction must take place doctrinally. There's no other way. Be it about Godhead, baptism, Lord's Supper, about all biblical teachings. Now, according to the Scriptures, now, just be honest now, and sometime, God willing, in the future, I will deal with the various doctrines, which, for instance, were construed from Acts 2, verse 38, in the various denominations. All took Scriptures. For instance, the Scripture from Acts 2. For this promise is unto you and to your children. And the state churches take this Scripture and say, oh, this applies also to our children. So, we can baptize our children. And that's what happens then, because they refer to this word, the promise is unto you and to your children, but they don't baptize. They're sprinkling three times with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But are referring to the Scripture, for the promise is unto you and to your children. Brothers and sisters, when I think about it, how many Scriptures are misused for heresies, then I get angry. Then something goes on within me, which I cannot explain to you. It just hurts. And as then the scribe said, Elijah must first come. Could they have not read what is written about the day of the Lord? That the sun will turn into darkness and the moon will turn into blood? They were not waiting for the Messiah as the Redeemer. They were waiting for the day of the Lord. What shall the day of the Lord bring for them? Just read it. What is written about the day of the Lord? Also, Isaiah 13 from verse 6 and all the other many scriptures, what is written about the day of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, let us say it in the summary once again. Brother Baumgartner has read verse by verse. And all of us at home, we can read it again. With what clarity the Apostle Paul could write down everything. It could have been written yesterday, so that we can read it today. All of the Holy Scripture was written so timely, so alive, that we can recognize it now. Now everything comes to fulfillment. Also, about this, the heretics spread their own teachings. But the return of the Lord will happen just as it was read from the verses in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to the living God for his precious and holy word. Thanks be to God for the teaching, for the insight, for the revelation. Thanks be to God that he has fulfilled his word and he sent his servant and prophet in our time. And thanks be to God that he lets so much time elapse until he returns. And be honest, if the Lord would have returned already 20 or 40 years ago, how many of the listeners would not have been part of it? And therefore, Peter writes that God is long-suffering until the last ones are called. Thanks be to our God. My personal conviction is that the return of the Lord is very, very near. But in the same way, it must be said that all believers must remain sober in the natural and in the spiritual life. No one is permitted to come to me and speak about a chip. Nobody may come to me and speak about vaccination. No, really not. Really not. For this I have no time at all. And those who speak of a chip, they shall take it to heart that the mark of the beast only sets in after the rapture and not before. Forget the chip. Forget all discussions. Everybody may decide for himself before his God and leave everyone else alone. So, may the Lord God bless. Let us say it once again. Thanks be to the Lord for his precious and holy word. Thanks be to the Lord for it, that all the world can listen and can have part in that what God is presently doing. Let me once again announce that God willing, on the coming weekend, the Good Friday will take over, and then on Saturday evening and on Sunday morning, we will have a live broadcast. And now, I would like to announce already that on Wednesday, the 14th of April, there will be a special program about the Ten Commandments, which I recorded 1996 in the city of Prague. At the time, it was translated into the Czech language. I preached in German. In that chapel in which Jan Hus preached 100 years before the Reformation, in that chapel, I had the great privilege to have this special program for all the Czech nation, and then also the interview with and about the Ten Commandments. The Lord God bless all. And in closing, I return now all the greetings from all over the earth. And I'm happy about every phone call. I rejoice over every email. We remain and are joined in the Lord. He completes His work with His church in our time. Maranatha, blessed and praised be our Lord. Yes, come soon, Lord Jesus. Be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Wachet auf, ruft uns die Stimme, der Wächter sehr hoch auf der Zinne. Wach auf, du Stadt Jerusalem, Mitternacht heißt diese Stunde, sie rufen uns mit hellem Munde. Wo seid ihr klugen Jungfrauen, wohl auf der Bräutigam kommt, steht auf die Lampen nimmt, Halleluja, macht euch bereit zu der Hochzeit. Ihr müsst ihm entgegengehen. Sieh uns deine Gäste nahe, das Mahl der Liebe zu empfangen, das Himmels Kraft den Seelen reicht, volles Glück und ewiges Leben. Willst du Kraft deiner Liebe uns geben, der keine Liebe auf Erden gleicht? Gabst du nicht uns zu gut, dahin dein Fleisch und Blut?